notes are on this thing. I couldn't get them printed. Because it wouldn't set up. So I'll try it. See how that works. And if it goes to sleep in the middle, I'll have to figure that out too. I am looking at Hebrews chapter 13. It is the last chapter in Hebrews, and it is the last time that Paul is speaking in the Bible. And these are indeed his parting words. It's not that he didn't write anything that we might look at and go, hey, wait a minute, we could probably put a later date on this. But for some reason or other, the rabbis, the biblical scholars, theologians, who kind of said, hey, what should we put for second and third? I'm getting a whole whack of feedback here again. I'll just shut that other mic off. Maybe that will help. So, still, they organize this in such a way that this is the last book that's in the Bible that we attribute to Paul. And this is the last chapter. And it is his farewell, so to speak. So these are his last words, and I'd just like to read them to you and ask you to just consider them as you hear them. And be aware, perhaps, of which of these words, which of these things sticks out to you. Think of them, too, as someone's last time they're going to speak to you. You're not going to see them again. They're very fond of you. Maybe they've been part of your journey in the faith, and they're leaving. And what would they want to leave with you? What would resonate with you? That's why I would love for you to hear this morning. So here it is. Paul's last words. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. And do not forget to entertain strangers, because by doing so, some people have entertained angels without even knowing it. And remember those in prison, as if you were their fellow prisoner. And remember those who are mistreated, as if you yourselves were suffering. Marriage should be honored by all. The marriage bed be kept pure. God shall judge the adulterer. Keep your lives free from love of money. Be content with what you have. For God has said, I will never leave you. Never will I forsake you. And so we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life, their faith. Jesus Christ, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. It is good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by ceremonial food, which is of no value to those who eat it. We have an altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. The high priest carries blood of animals to the most holy place as a sin offering, but the bodies are burned outside the camp. Well, so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make people holy through his blood. Let's go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we're looking for a city that is yet to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let's continually offer this sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips, to confess his name and not forget, to do good to one another and to others. For with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Obey leaders, submit to their authority, keep watch over you. They keep watch over you as ones who must give account. Obey them so that their work may be a joy and not a burden, for that wouldn't be of any advantage to you. Pray for us. We are sure that we have a clear conscience and desire to live honorably in every way. And I particularly urge you to pray that I may be restored. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may he equip you with everything good for doing his will. May he work in us what is pleasing to him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I would encourage you to think about those words that stick out for you. Journal about them this week. Maybe do some reading about them. Consider them yourselves. Naomi, can I see that slide? Can we fire that up? I don't know if you remember this, that we had the card with the new logo that's going to be the sign up on the building that's coming. And this was on the back of that card. The vision, values, and mission. I spoke about the vision this morning, right? When we started, spirit-led community. We're a Christ-centered community. That's the core values of the church. And then we have this mission. Caring, equipping, and launching. I think Paul's last words fit this mission beautifully. And I think actually they fit all of this. The vision, the values, and the mission of Good News are wonderfully biblical. And Paul speaks to these with parting word instruction. Begins with, keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Some families, maybe they would say, I don't think it's a good idea to have church loving one another the way we love brothers and sisters. On the whole, family, what does that mean? Or what is it at least we hope it would mean? Is what Paul is saying is important here when it comes to the body of Christ. We ought to love each other that much. And then to flesh that out, he says three things. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers, because some people have even entertained angels. So that's one way to love one another as brothers and sisters. The sort of hospitality that we would give. The sort of hospitality that we would demonstrate when someone comes over to our house. How open is your door? The question you may ask is, how often might I have people over? And do I offer them anything when they do come over? Some people have the gift of hospitality and they lay out wonderful stuff. Some not. As a pastor, I don't think I've visited everybody's home here yet. And I've been here, 2.5 years? Need to, but I remember being in different communities and, boy, the demand to come and visit a home was pretty strong. And there were two ladies, no matter how often they were spinsters, no matter how often I visited them, there was no hospitality, none. For 12 years, I don't think I ever received a cookie or a coffee or anything, nothing. Not even a glass of water. It was interesting. Very interesting. Boy, and yet they had words about the church. It was very interesting to be with them. hospitality, how we talk, how we treat one another, what do we put out for one another? How do we want to bless them when they come over to our house? I have a niece. Well, she's obviously grown up. She's a mom of her. But every time her family had a spare room, and whenever they would have guests, she wanted to go out with her mom and buy chocolates because she thought it would be so nice to put a chocolate on the pillow of each. I think she had seen it somewhere in a magazine or something like that. She thought that was so awesome. And so she always did that. And then she wanted mom to buy like a bottle of wine, because that's what grown-ups drink, and put that on the nightstand in the room with a card, and she would write something in the card for the couple and hope they would feel at home. And this was the daughter's boy. It was au naturel for her to be hospitable. She loved doing that. That's a pretty cool thing to do. So treating one another very well and being thoughtful is what Paul is speaking to here. And then to flesh that out a bit more, hospitality, then he says these two things. Continue to remember those in prison as if you were there with them in prison. Continue to remember those mistreated as if you yourself are suffering. As if. Put yourself in their shoes. Be empathic. Have empathy. Think about how they would feel. That's what Paul is talking about. If you look at our core values, that's what our core values are speaking to. It's really simple. And Paul, obviously, for the church, he would have to say something about marriage at that time for a bunch of other reasons. That's a whole other message. Keeping your life from money, be content with what you got. Whole other message, great message for today. Remembering the leaders, considering their outcome and imitate their faith in the context of this message, that's pretty profound, because he's talking about living by faith. What happens when your leaders pray, when they ask God for things? Do you see anything happen there? I mean, only imitate them if you see God at work in their lives, basically, is what Paul is saying. Pretty good words for the church, which at this point is pretty young, right? It's just starting out. It's developing. It's on its way up. Then he wants to give some guiding principles for how it ought to function. And then, so I would call that the whole caring front end about how do we care? Hospitality, being kind. And by understanding them, stepping into their shoes, going the extra mile. And we see us doing that just in terms of the refugee family and some other things that are going on. Part of the caring thing is, like, this Wednesday we'll have our pancake thing. People show up, bring some friends, we'll eat, we'll have fun. Simple. The second part of what Paul does is a lot, kind of an equipping thing. So we're back to the mission, a caring community, now an equipping community. And equipping for Paul is, in verse 9, Paul says, do not be carried away by all kinds of strange teachings. Now, he's alluding to the Hebrews who said, these are ceremonial foods, you got to eat this. If you eat it this way, this is how you'll be blessed. So it's kind of like saying, when you do the Lord's Supper, when you have communion together, which we're going to celebrate here next week together, this is how you should do communion if you want to do it right. And that's the way that you'll be most blessed if you do it like that. And Paul is saying, it's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace, not by how we might eat ceremonial food, which is of no benefit. For we have an altar which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. It sounds like a very strange statement, but it's actually quite simple. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened by grace. Like when you would get a chocolate on your pillow. Simple. It's good to be strengthened by the thoughtfulness of others, is what Paul is saying here. It's not rocket science. That's what God did for you and me in sending Christ, right? God's being extremely thoughtful of you and I when he sends his son and says, now enter that person's life over there because I really care about that person. And it's very personal. It's good for our hearts to be strengthened by that grace. Not all the ceremony that might be part and parcel of our community of faith and how we do things, but by actual acts of goodness and decency and love being expressed to one another. And then he says, for we have this altar from which those who minister at the tabernacle have no right to eat. Because the ones who are ministering at the tabernacle, mostly the priests and their religious order, are eating of those sacrifices. They're allowed to. That was part of the rules, right? But they're still stuck in the ceremony. And Paul is saying they have no right to eat from this other table of grace, of community. And not just community with one another, but community with the Holy Spirit. It's pretty profound kind of speech that he's making here. No wonder he says, so let's go, let's be like Jesus and go outside the camp. Let's bear the disgrace that he bore, hanging out with people that the church says you shouldn't hang out with. At least back then, that's what they said to Jesus, right? You hang out with prostitutes and you hang out with these people and you hang out with these people. We would never do that. And Paul's saying, yeah, why don't we go and do that? That's a good thing to do, right? You know what's really interesting? I was saying to some people when I found, you know, that, so how's it going in Good News? How's it going in Winnipeg when I was visiting my family last week and their friends and so on, and we were at someone's house and they said, so you've got a refugee family. That's awesome. Are they Christians? Yeah. I almost laughed like that, Paul. And actually, it really ticked me off. I didn't know what to say. Like, there was part of me that just wanted to say to them, that is the most disgusting response I ever heard from a Christian. Are they Christians? Because I didn't know how to respond. I was so irritated. Not that I don't want somebody to enjoy becoming a Christian and finding Christ and experience incredible grace from the Lord, never mind other human beings. That's awesome. But I can't force that on people. And the minute I think about forcing it on people, it's no longer what Paul speaks of. It's no longer the grace, right? So I thought, I'm glad they're Muslim. Not so that we can convert them. That'll be up to God. Whatever. But so that we can be at peace with just being Christ to people where they are without demanding anything else in return. What a fantastic opportunity we have in front of us to be like him. I love that. So let's go out. Let's go do like Jesus. Let's go outside the camp. Quit hanging around in a living room by the nice fireplace where it seems like the Christian church likes to be, right? Hey, let's hang out in the great room right by the fireplace. We'll do some s'mores. We'll have some fun together. Meanwhile, outside, there's all this other stuff going on. And Paul is saying, should be hanging out there. And then he says, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for one that is to come. Isn't that interesting? For here, next to the fireplace where all the Christians like to hang out and do s'mores together, we don't have an enduring city. This isn't it. As cool as it is to have this room be not totally dedicated to worship, but to have it to be multi-purpose use and use 5 days a week and so on with, with the program that's here and to have it used in all kinds of ways for dances and so on. and we could move chairs and not have... That's interesting. That's great. But and it means we can kind of spread out and have different stuff go on here other than just have our nice little Christianized view of worship and, you know, pews and stuff. And so, and not that that's terribly terrible, but it doesn't seem to do justice to get outside the city. And don't make this way of doing church the enduring city, the way it has to be. Get out. Watch God do stuff outside of this. That's one of the reasons that I like good news. That's part of being equipped. That's also part of launching. Part of that launching is don't forget to do good, to share with others, because these are the kind of sacrifices by which God is pleased. It's really simple stuff. And I think that that final benediction that Paul has to offer is most profound. Now may the God of peace, yeah, creator of the universe, Yahweh, God, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, may that God, the original, the creator, equip you with everything good for doing his will. And may that God work in us what is pleasing to God. And if you look at all of Paul's closing remarks, it's get out of your own comfort zone. Get out of hanging around by this nice little Christian fire doing s'mores. Practice some hospitality. Stretch yourself. So we're doing all kinds of stretching here, just in terms of the refugee family, in terms of stretching financially for that certainly, but also for the building and thinking about that. Next week we want to have some equipping things. We're talking about meeting as small groups for four sessions at a time, and whether that's 4 weeks running every week on a Wednesday night or whether that ends up being every other Wednesday for 8 weeks. It's a four-session time where we get together and go over a topic and just have this small group and challenge one another, as our vision states, to challenge each other, to invite and challenge one another to grow in our relationship with God. And that's what we will do. And so John Parsons and Lynn are leading some stuff on Holy Spirit. I'm looking at doing stuff in terms of some basic things in terms of our denomination, but I also would like to do something, some equipping in terms of just a book of the Bible. Just have a group of people that take up a book of the Bible. And then I want to use Bible Hub, an online program that's really simple to use, and take a computer to that and use it together so that you can figure out how to use these tools really well to dig into a book of the Bible, and then we'll go through a passage. You use the tools, dig into it. We come back at the end of the week and go, hey, what'd you find when you what'd you dig up? Simple. And keep it simple, because none of this is rocket science. Paul's last words to the church. I don't know. He's about to leave. He knows he's never coming back. He's in Rome. He's not going to ever be with the Hebrew people again. He's going to die there. He won't get to mold that church and manipulate it like a piece of Play-Doh and turn it into his image, which is probably a good thing. It's good for us to remember that too. Well, it's good for Paul to say to the church, hey, pay attention to Christ. In essence here, he is saying, keep your eyes focused on the author and the perfecter of your faith. And all he does is give the basics, because that's all that matters. In the end, that is all that matters. If you don't have a card, and you want one, just so that you can have that, you know, at home or somewhere, or you'd like it emailed to you, let either Krista in the office or myself know, and we'll make sure that you get that. Would you join me in a prayer? Our Father God in heaven, we are we are grateful, though we say, Father God, that you are spirit, that Jesus made that abundantly clear, and that you are to be worshipped in spirit and in truth, and we confess to you there are lots of times when that does not happen, because we've molded our idea of religion and good news and our faith, we've molded it into what we wanted. And I pray that you would keep us sensitive to the leading of your Holy Spirit. Touch us. Help us to see you more clearly, to see the church more clearly. Help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Help us, Lord, in terms of the refugee family. We would ask that there would be just an overflow of stuff for these folks to feel at home and get their life underway here. Bless them in their travels as they come from overseas through Montreal and then to Winnipeg. We ask for your special grace for the entire family. Even stuff for, like, there's their ears popping on a flight, Lord, that the young kids aren't too bent out of shape about that. We pray that somehow you would mitigate all those kinds of things. After all that they've been through, that they would arrive safely, peacefully, that where would be a good showing of folks to say hi to them at the airport and welcome them. We pray that they may find peace here, true peace. And will you guard us as your community of faith, as we struggle to figure out how it is we can be together and how we encourage and how we challenge each other, that we may continue to be a light in Winnipeg, a light in St. Vital, a light for the communities that you call us to serve and the places you call us to be hospitable to. We pray you these things in the name of Christ. Amen.